McLean Middleton Minutes, a podcast dedicated to business, legal, and community news in New Hampshire and Massachusetts. You'll hear about all things legal and how they affect business. You'll also hear from local business and community leaders sharing stories of their success. In law and business, good things often take time. So, without a minute to spare, let's get started with McLean Middleton Minutes.
Welcome to the McLean Middleton Minutes, What's Her Story? I'm your host, attorney Linda Johnson, and joining me today is my co-host, attorney Jennifer Arendt. As we celebrate Women's History Month, we wanted to explore the topic of women in the law in New Hampshire. Joining us today is Caroline Leonard, president of the New Hampshire Women's Bar Association. Caroline is a business attorney with Gallagher, Callahan, and Gartrell. She has been practicing law since 2013 and assumed the role of president of the New Hampshire Women's Bar Association in September of 2020. Coincidentally, my co-host, Jennifer Parent, was a founding member of the New Hampshire Women's Bar Association in 1998 and its second president in 2000 to 2002. Do I have that right, Jennifer?
You have that right. And thank you for the memory of 20 years ago, over 20 years ago.
So Caroline, welcome and thank you for joining us. To start, I was hoping you could talk a little bit about what brought you to the legal profession and what is your practice now?
Sure. Thanks, Linda, for having me. And Jennifer, it's a pleasure to be here. With regard to why I entered the law, that's a little bit of a roundabout path, which I think is pretty common for many folks. I ended up working in New York as a paralegal after college for a pretty big law firm down there. And if anything, I've heard from most people that having those types of experiences often turns people off of being a lawyer. I fortunately did not have that experience. I got to work with some really incredible people. I got exposure to an entire world I knew very little about. I worked in the investment fund sector in fund formation. And I also had the opportunity through my work there to work on some pro bono matters that the firm had going on, including an asylum application for a Tibetan refugee. So all of those experiences combined really helped me see what the value is of a law degree and how much you can do with a law degree. And I loved that. I loved how versatile it was. I loved all the options you could do. It was fascinating because, I mean, I worked at such a big firm. I got to talk to a lot of different lawyers about how they ended up where they were. And I think that's probably one of my favorite parts about my job is talking to people and hearing their stories and talking to clients about what their experiences have been and, you know, law students about what their experiences are and how you got to where you are. I'm a people person, as you can probably tell. I think that's one of the coolest parts about the job and helping people fix their problems. And my work as a business lawyer now at Gallagher really just, you know, piggybacks off of that theme. I get to work with some really, really interesting business owners who are either starting, just brand new, starting up, or they want to sell, they want to transition ownership to their kids, what have you, and all the associated issues that come up during those kinds of situations. So it's a neat area practicing that particular topic in New Hampshire because you get to do so much with it. And so some days I might have some real estate components. Some days I might have securities components. It's never boring. That was one thing I really liked about the law degree is I'm never going to be bored. And that was a big goal of mine. I cannot be bored. It is not my jam. So that was really, really what attracted me to the field. And it continues to invigorate me and keep me intellectually stimulated. And I think that's just a really neat thing about the practice of law. There's just so much you can do with it.
You can hear your enthusiasm when you talk about it.
I was going to say, I think there's a lot of similarities among the three women who are on this podcast today that we found a profession where we can take our passions and our natural attributes and funnel them into making a living out of it, which is really awesome. That sounds great. So let's now talk a bit about the New Hampshire Women's Bar Association. And I know it was established in 1998, and it was to promote and support and advance the interests of women in the legal community. And now the membership has many different kinds of lawyers. We have judges and educators, government officials, even law students. And why is it important to have an affinity bar for women attorneys?
That's a great question, Linda, and it's one that we get asked fairly often, actually. And I think the answer to that has a bunch of different components to it. The primary reason for me personally and why having such a bar is important is it has really engendered my ability to develop really deep relationships with my female colleagues. And that's not to say you couldn't do that in another capacity or through a different, you know, event or organization. But for me, the Women's Bar has really, really helped me get to know my colleagues in New Hampshire. And I love that about this group. They are so welcoming. There are so many leadership opportunities. There have been so many people who are just so willing to talk to me very candidly about their experiences and how they can help me. And these aren't even people who I necessarily work with. And I think that's really telling not only of New Hampshire as a place to practice, but in particular, the Women's Bar. And I love that about this group. And that's part of the reason that really motivated me to seek out a board position and ultimately end up to where I am now is so many people have helped me get to where I am as far as, you know, women helping each other and giving me advice and, you know, I did it, you know, have you thought about this? Those kinds of, you know, that kind of feedback. That's really why I wanted to, you know, become president, because I think it's really important that I give back now. All these other people helped me, so now I want to repay it. I want to help others. I want to bring other people up with me and see what we can do together, because it's really powerful.
Well, you can see why you were elected into that position that you sought and how lucky we are to have you in that role. So we have Jennifer's reign in 2000 to 2002 and yours starting in just the fall of 2020. Reflecting on the 20 years, how has the industry changed? And I guess I'd like to hear actually from both of you, but we'll start with Caroline.
I can certainly speak to the more recent events and areas where I think we still might need a little bit of work. So I think I like to see that, you know, women in the graduating classes at ABA accredited law schools, we're now over 50% of the graduating class. That's awesome. And I think that I want to say that statistic came out probably 2016 range or so. So it's a relatively new feat, but I think that's really good momentum. However, that's not to say that we don't have things to do. And as far as areas where we need to improve, I think we need to continue seeing women in leadership roles. And now those take a host of different ideas that could be government, politics, equity, partnership, leadership in the firm, leadership in nonprofits at the agency level, and in the judiciary. I think it's very, very important. And I know we've seen lots and lots of studies about this, but, you know, the more you have diverse people as far as gender, race, ethnicity, background, et cetera, the better off we all are as organizations. And that can be in business, in the business world, or that can be at your law firm. And I think especially in New Hampshire, you know, encouraging that and continuing to work on that, those are really important things that we need to focus on.
And Jennifer, your observation from, you know, as Caroline said, she wasn't in practice 20 years ago, but you and I both were. What are your observations about how the profession has changed?
Well, the numbers are increasing, so I'll start there. And I've said this before. When I came in to the practice in 1995, you know, we were heading towards the Year of the Woman, and where we had the most women at that time in the U.S. Congress. We had Janet Reno as our first, you know, U.S. Attorney General. Madeleine Albright followed close behind. Then we had Justice Delanus, you know, getting on our Supreme Court. And I just looked at it as this huge opportunity that we were seeing growth and there is strength in numbers, and our numbers, you know, are increasing incrementally, just a slight bit. It's been a slow process, but it's good to see that.
Yeah. And so I go back even further. So more than 30 years ago when I started to practice law, and like you, Caroline, I started as a paralegal for 9 years before I said, wow, this is really what I want to do. And what's really refreshing for me is the numbers that in the past, when you walked into a room, you could count on your hands or hand the women. And now that's not the case. And so often you go to our events and there are an equal or more amount of women as there are men. So that's good to see.
So Caroline, Linda talked a little bit about membership and that you have lawyers and judges and educators, government officials, and law students. When someone once said it takes a village. So do you have male members as members of the New Hampshire Women's Bar Association?
Great question, Jennifer. Yes, we do. And again, that's something that we are very proud of. And it's something that, again, we're asked that a little bit. Well, you're the women's bar. Why do you need men members? And it's not that we necessarily need men members, but we want them because this is a team effort. And our mission is to advance women in the legal profession in New Hampshire. Why not have everybody on board behind that? That's, the more the merrier. We welcome everybody, all walks into our fold, because we truly believe that the more people who buy into that message and advancing women helps all of us, the better.
Yeah. And as we talk about the mission of the Women's Bar, I'm mindful that it touches upon what you just talked about, right? The promoting the interests of women in the legal community, also through leadership, education, the exchange of ideas of people, and that involves and needs to include everybody.
Definitely.
So we talked a little bit about statistics and the numbers improving in terms of women coming into the practice of law. And I know the ABA Commission on Women in the Profession has done a lot of studies on looking into why women leave. So they start out in big numbers at law school and seems to dwindle as you get to the equity shareholder status. But we just got through official 1 year, and it's not over yet, with COVID-19. And I've seen lots of articles and studies starting to look at the impact the global pandemic has had on women, and in more particular, women in law. Have you heard from women bar members about how COVID-19 has maybe been impacting them in their practice?
Yes, we have. And I think there's actually a term that you're referring to, Jennifer, called the she session. Not recession, but she session. And I think that really is focused on this concept of, which is something our members have raised with us, that a lot of the household obligations during COVID have disproportionately fallen on our women members. And I think, and again, that's broadly categorizing, but I think an issue that we have seen that still remains an issue in New Hampshire, and I think probably nationally, is the childcare issue. There aren't enough, young childcare, affordable childcare options. I have a 6-month-old. I can tell you daycare costs a fortune. Yes, I also have a 6-month-old, which I had right at the beginning of my term. So we're juggling all the things. But going back to your question, Jennifer, I think that, this is perhaps an issue at the state level that really could generate a little bit more conversation. Having some more affordable childcare options is really something that would, again, benefit everybody. And that's not women specifically. That's, dads too. All parents would benefit from this. And obviously, like, if people are so inclined to have a family, and they are part of your workforce, then we need to make sure that these options exist. And I think they're pretty limited. And certainly my own personal experience, they've been pretty limited as far as what was available. And COVID in particular has really taken a hit because a lot of places were forced to close or had more limited options available because they had to decrease numbers allowed because of the spacing and all those sorts of things. I know that is a continued issue. It's not a new issue. I think COVID really highlighted and exacerbated a pre-existing issue, this issue. But that's something definitely that I would love to see our state level officials taking a closer look at.
A lot of the articles I'm seeing are talking about just the setback that we're going to see in women, which includes women in the law. And this might be a good opportunity to use that, you know, the education piece and the dialogue and the exchange of ideas in the community to address, you know, one issue you talked about is the childcare issue for everybody.
Another commonality, Caroline, my daughter was 6 months old when I became treasurer of the New Hampshire Bar. So I know all those balls that you are juggling. Now, that was many years ago because she's now 33, but I can empathize with your world, and it's a wonderful world. We're very fortunate to have all those pieces. I wanted to talk a bit about some of the initiatives that the Women's Bar Association does to help female lawyers, and wanted to mention now the excitement that we learned yesterday, Governor Sununu having nominated Patricia Conway, the Rockingham County Attorney, to be a judge. And I know the Women's Bar has that, it's called Path to the Bench. So can you speak to that and let us know some of the other initiatives that the Bar Association does?
Yes, definitely. So about a week and a half, 2 weeks ago, we held a program called Path to the Bench. And what that program is meant to do, we do it every certain number of years, but our objective with that program is to bring in members of the state and federal judiciary and speak pretty openly about how they ended up as judges. And again, there are a lot of similarities sometimes in the stories, but there also are a lot of differences. And again, I've gone to this program maybe four times now, and I always get something out of it because it's so interesting to hear, again, I'm a people person, hear people's stories about how they ended up where they are. And we also always include somebody, or we try to include somebody from the Judicial Selection Commission, who's appointed by the governor. And basically, so you hear from the judges first about how they ended up where they are. And then you hear from somebody on the commission who do this vetting and, you know, research process before the names are submitted to the governor for approval or nomination, rather, because obviously the executive council approves. So it's a really unique program. And I think it really provides people a nice opportunity to hear from the horse's mouth, if you will, how judges became judges. And we were very fortunate this year to have Justice McCafferty from the federal court, Magistrate Judge Johnstone from the federal court. We also had Judge Colburn from the Superior Court. And it was moderated by former Justice Conboy, and Justice Hans Marconi also participated. So we had a great breadth of experience and different stories about how they got to where they are. And really, it was really interesting to hear what motivated them to become judges. Because something we often see, Linda, is that women in particular are a little less, I think, confident perhaps about putting their names forward for something they don't know they're going to get. And I think, you know, putting yourself out there as to nominate yourself as a judge, that's a big deal, you know, and it's, you know, you might not get it. As Justice Conboy shared with us, you know, and this is no secret, she applied several times and the first few times were unsuccessful. And her takeaway to the group was keep applying, keep trying. And our goal with, you know, hosting a program like this and all of our programs is to make sure our members get that takeaway. You know, keep trying, keep applying. Others have done this, and yes, they've, you know, paved the way for us. But that's not to say, you know, it's still a scary thing to do, but keep trying, keep going at it. And obviously, you know, we still, I think there is still a little bit of underrepresentation in the New Hampshire judiciary. We'd like to see those numbers improve. So our hope in hosting these types of programs is that we will generate more applications to the governor's Judicial Selection Commission, which will hopefully ultimately end up with more women judges.
Caroline, I've been to those Path to the Bench seminars or programs that the Women's Bar puts on. And as important as the encouragement to get women to put their name forward, I think it's also important that those that attend be confident in saying to somebody that they think should put their name forward, that they should. And sort of the combination effort will get us to, I think, see numbers that will start to look more like the numbers in our communities in terms of percentages. I don't know if you have, do you have those numbers in terms of the what we have on the bench today?
I do. At the circuit court, and my numbers are from a few days ago, so they don't reflect Patricia Conway's nomination, but at the circuit court level, we have 5 vacancies currently. Of the filled seats, however, we have 44% are women, 56% are men. At the superior court, we have 3 vacancies. And again, this is before Patricia Conway's nomination. Of those filled seats, there are 22 total seats. 26% of the superior court judges are women, which leaves the remaining 74% are men. The Supreme Court, obviously, we all know, we have Justice Hans Marconi is the only woman on the Supreme Court currently. So again, there's work to be done there. And I think we are on the right track. I love that our law school numbers are gaining traction the way they are. But again, we've got to keep working on these leadership roles to ensure that we're still working towards that gender parity.
I know another program and topic that's important to the Women's Bar Association has been attorney well-being. And can you talk to us about some of the initiatives that the Women's Bar has in terms of attorney well-being?
Well-being is definitely top of mind, I think, especially during COVID. I think people are really eager to find additional tools that they can use to help with the stress, help them, decompress, those kinds of things. So actually, in a few weeks, we'll be hosting our annual retreat, and our focus this year is wellness. And McLean, I have to mention, is our primary sponsor. So we're very, very excited about that. Thank you.
Thank you for that, Caroline.
Of course, of course. So our focus this year, our theme this year is wellness. And so we have a whole host of different offerings. People can either sign up for the entire weekend or they can do kind of a la carte offerings. We have, and again, these are very different things. So you could do, you could learn about yoga, you could learn about meditation, you could do focaccia art. There's all these different things. And again, this is all part of the, giving people tools that they can use in their arsenal as far as, no, this might not be something I normally do to de-stress, but I'm going to try yoga today, and now that you've done it, maybe it's a little less, oh, actually that kind of helped. Doing a couple stretches, that helped. So I think those kinds of things, we want to make sure that our membership has different tools at their disposal. We want to make sure that they feel supported, they feel heard, and that if they want to, be transmitting information from, to government, that we're a mouthpiece for that, or to the judiciary, that we're a mouthpiece for that. And we're happy to do that for our members.
Perfect. And in full disclosure, I am signed up to attend, and I think I have perfect attendance since we started doing those stress relief clinics, which we now call the annual. Tell us about, I know we've had COVID, it's been over a year. People are excited and eager to get back to live programming. I know I am. I know Linda is. I'm assuming you are as well. Tell us about what you have coming up. I know you have the Marilla Ricker Award, you have the Winnie McLaughlin Award, you've got a fall reception. Maybe tell us what you know is on the horizon for the Women's Bar.
Sure. So since 1998, when we first began, we have always hosted a fall reception in October in Concord. And at that event, and it has now become one of our biggest events, if not our biggest event. In fact, we had to move the venue because we outgrew the prior venue due to fire code. Two of the features of that event are the two awards you just mentioned, Jennifer. the Ricker Award and the Winnie McLaughlin Scholarship. So the Ricker Award is, I would say, probably our biggest award that we give out. It's only given annually, and it's awarded to a woman lawyer who has one of three things. One option is she has achieved professional excellence and paved the way for success for other women lawyers. Another option is she may have advanced opportunities for women in the legal profession. And then a third possible path is that that person has performed exemplary public service on behalf of women. So that's our kind of cherry award. It's a really big deal. Jennifer, I think actually both of you received this award, which is fantastic. It's such an honor. It's a really, really big deal. And we are so excited to have such a great turnout at this event every year that it's presented. The Winnie McLaughlin Scholarship is also really important to us. The scholarship was originally started to attract women law students to New Hampshire and the legal community who otherwise might not necessarily have come here or stayed here because of scholarship packages. Law school is expensive, we all know this. So the idea behind the Winnie Scholarship, we call it the Winnie, is three things that we're looking for in a candidate, and it's given to a 2L student. We're looking for demonstrated academic achievement, usually a 3.0 GPA or higher. We wanna see community service, ideally focused on advancing women in society, and we wanna see some demonstrated financial need. And that committee always, you know, it's always really hard. I know the Ricker, I've never served on the Ricker committee, but I know it's always really hard to find the right person for this because there are so many good people. So that's been our history as far as the fall reception goes. And like I said, so that'll be coming up this fall in October. We are really, really hoping that we can be in person. So far, it's looking pretty good. I don't want to get too ahead of myself because with this COVID thing, who knows? But we are very cautiously optimistic that we can be hosting that in person this year. It would be at the McAuliffe Shepherd Discovery Center. If we're able to move forward in person, we are planning on in person at this juncture. So keep your fingers crossed, please.
That sounds great. And I know just because I'm a member, I see the notices for the book club that you have and the golf outings that you have. And I think that's great. Keeping people active. They're virtual, but hopefully in person shortly, particularly the golf. Can't swing a club without being there physically.
Yes.
So Caroline, I want to, Linda and I, thank you for joining us today. We really enjoyed this discussion and we'd love to have you back and explore some of these issues further. The future looks bright for female attorneys in New Hampshire, and the New Hampshire Women's Bar Association offers an incredible resource for our female attorneys. Thank you for joining us for McLean Middleton Minutes.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Thank you for listening to McLean Middleton Minutes, a production of the McLean Middleton Law Firm. We invite you to share this podcast with your colleagues and friends. Check back soon for additional episodes.